Welcome to episode 44 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the review show that reviews anime from A to Z. Sort of.
Alright, so last episode we got Category L, Land of the Lustrous.
One of these days you gotta forget the bad one.
I think I've forgotten it a couple times. It's apparently a Japanese manga series written and illustrated by Haruko Ichikawa, published from 2012. It became, I believe, a video game, some other crap. But then it eventually became a 2D/3D hybrid anime television series adapted by Orange, which aired in 2017.
Oh, there was 2D animation? I didn't even notice at all.
Yeah, I didn't really notice that either.
It looked all 3D to me.
Yeah, it looked 100% 3D to me, yeah. So maybe that's not 100% accurate in the wiki, but it's definitely CG. It reminds, if anyone's seen Ruby, it reminds us a lot of that. We both commented on the first episode when we watched it.
Right. I mean, it's not bad. It's actually kind of beautiful at parts.
Yeah, definitely. It is fairly pretty, especially the gems.
I was also, I did a little bit of research on it beforehand. Apparently, they did make it in 3D. They considered doing it in 2D at first, but they couldn't get the gems to shine in 2D. Like, they wanted the sparkle from the gems. They couldn't get it, so they switched to 3D so they can get that effect.
So before we get to premise or anything, we read it, like, the little info on the page that we watch our episodes from, and then we click on it. We watched the first episode. I think we were both like, oh, this is going to be terrible.
Yeah.
But man, did I like it.
Me too.
Oh, I loved it. It was so good.
I didn't know how you revealed it, but I was coming in here wondering if it was just me. But I really loved it.
Really f***ing good.
Yeah, I loved it.
This is what I want out of a strong female cast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is it. It's a good story. There's tons of flaws in the characters.
Right.
Tons of strong points.
So, I mean, it's funny because this is like the second or third one in a row that we got. It's all female cast with one male character. But this one was really, really solid.
Yeah. Pretty exceptional, I'd say.
Yeah. Huh. I was like, usually I can come in and get a good judge of how you're going to react to something. But I was like, I don't know. I really like this. I don't know if this is just me or what's going on with this, but I really, really
was
digging it.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a slow pickup for the first episode.
Oh, yeah, that was my
problem. But once you got hooked into the character of Foss, who's the main character, man, it really takes off.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first episode is like, we both looked at it and was like, what is this?
It just looks so weird. Like, we just finished watching it. Anime about
tanker.
Yeah,
no, cruise battleship girls.
Yeah, and then we're watching this, and it's like these girls made out of gems, and they have odd powers.
And the main character Fossophile is kind of annoying in the first couple episodes, and it's like, this is not going to be an easy sit.
Yeah, not only was it not going to be an easy sit, but it was like we just came for something super out there, and now we're also going to something else that's super out there.
Yeah.
And although this is pretty out there, it gets grounded fairly soon.
Oh, yeah. Fairly soon. And it gets dark in a lot of places, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was talking to our coworkers earlier today about it. And I was bringing it up. I was like, I wasn't sure how I was going to approach it. Because I was like, maybe this is just me and I'm wrong. But as I'm explaining it, I'm like, yeah, this is really good. And I started to convince them.
There's a lot of plot development for the characters themselves. Mainly the main character. Boss, there isn't a whole lot of story
around
arcing.
No,
and that for me, that's the biggest problem. So around halfway to three, well, let's get the premise first.
Well, yeah, premise.
Let's do premise first. So there's these girls made out of gems, and each gem has a certain hardness.
Yes.
So diamond's better than the main character Foss, who's like, has a hardness level 3. They don't really go too in depth in all that stuff. But they sort of just mention it in passing.
No, but you know when the the mid breaks, they have the title cards and they explain the formulas
for
each
gem.
Yeah, which is pretty neat and stuff.
It's fairly interesting. I didn't really read that.
Yeah.
I never really do.
Well, it goes by in like a second.
Yeah,
they
always do.
So it's like I managed to catch it here and there what the formulas are, and I'm assuming they're all correct, but
yeah, so there's these gem girls. There's their sensei, who may be a gem, who may not be a gem.
We
I did a tiny bit of research. I'll go into that later. And then there's these, what are they called? Lunarians.
Yeah,
they come from the moon and
harvest
them. That's what they say. I don't know if they actually do, but that's
because
what
they seem to rip the fabric of reality a lot.
Well, that could also be just how they transfer from the moon to the earth.
No, at the same time, the cloud ones kind of just appear out of shadows, almost like a cloud foreman.
So there's these Lunarians that are harvesting their bodies for weapons.
No, well,
they use them for arrow tips.
Yeah, there's that, but the explanation that I heard from them is that Yeah, they use it for weapons and stuff, but they mostly just collect them because they think they're pretty. Because if you notice one, because there's a couple times where these things actually break the gem girls and the Lunarians capture them. When they pick up the gem pieces, they're all rubbing them against their faces and stuff like that.
I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're harvesting them for, you know, whatever reason.
Jewelry.
And, and obviously they don't want to be harvested.
No.
So they fight back. And that's pretty much the premise. You don't get too much deeper than that very early on.
No, they're all, and they're trapped on this island.
Yeah, they're on this crescent-shaped island.
And apparently this is the future, because they talk about...
Deep into the future. You find out about that later on.
Yeah, because they talk about, like, humans and some...
Dying off six times over.
Yeah.
And on the sixth time, we evolve.
We split off into three different categories.
You find out, this is like halfway through, you find this out.
Yeah, one is the...
The bone, the flesh, and the soul.
Yeah, and the bones are the diamond girls, or
gem girls. And sensei, assumingly.
Yeah, and the Lunarians were the soul, which is another reason why they said they were trying to collect them to reunite them to it. And then apparently...
Those jellyfish-type people from the sea.
Yeah, they're flesh. They were the flesh. So they're sea creatures.
And the only overtly sexual part of the show was with the jellyfish girl and her she's like, look at my bodacious boobs, pretty much. And it's like, oh, okay, I mean, we've had a full girl cast this entire time and it wasn't super overtly sexual to them.
No, but
and even then it wasn't that bad.
But no, it was very fan service-y though.
I mean, I will say that most fan service I see is the girls constantly bending over. And like not like necessarily in the view with a frame so you get a really good view of their ass. Sometimes it's sideways.
No.
And you just see them proposition their ass up in the
they're
air.
Very,
it's like, what are you doing?
They're always presenting.
It's always odd, but like I said, it's not always to the camera, which is weird.
You're right, but no, what I'm saying is...
Again, they're drawing weird lines just like the last one.
Like, there's one part where the one gem girl is completely naked. I mean, you only see her ass.
Yeah, you don't really see anything, no.
You only see her ass. Which it got me thinking, do they, like, have a biological system? Do they?
I don't think so, because you find out later on that they're formed from this rock type area.
So why do
the gems just sort of come out of the
why
ground?
Why do they create that shape?
And then Sensei molds them, I guess?
Sensei seems like a pervert. Honestly.
I mean, good for him.
but they're all dressed kind of...
Scantily.
Yes.
They're wearing booty shorts.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that.
None of them are... And this is just something that you pick up from watching it. None of them have large breasts. Not that I particularly care.
Well, no.
But that is a bit odd.
Well, I was actually thinking about that coming, because I was thinking, do they have a biological system? Why were they shaping like that? And I thought about it. Do any of them have large breasts? Because they don't...
None of them, except for the jellyfish.
They're just stone.
Yeah,
so
they're pretty much flat-chested stones.
It's interesting.
It's just an odd thing to pick up on. Like it's a design choice, obviously.
Right.
Why though is weird.
I mean, the fan service in this was a little strange.
Yeah. Just like the last one, still there. just odd the way they're presenting it, where they're drawing the line and how they're presenting it.
It was almost like the creator of it was like, we need fan service in it, but I don't really want to do it.
Yeah.
So we're
just enough to appeal to the audience.
So we're gonna just do it just enough. I mean,
so that's pretty much the premise. They're just and the sexuality of it. They're just trying to defend themselves from the Lunarians.
Pretty much, yeah. And then we follow Phosphor.
Around the halfway point, a little bit past that, you start to find out, oh, there might be more to it than that.
Yeah.
Sensei knows something.
Yeah, Sensei is... Sensei seems to be friends with...
He might be pretty f***ing evil, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was picking up on. But at the same time, the gems were like, we trust him, because they're all in love
with
him.
Yeah, it's like an unwritten rule, I think Cinnabar, one of the gems, says. Yeah. We all just trust him.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was... And honestly, but this show is about... Phosphophyllite and
it's
her journey.
Following her journey.
And she's the youngest of the gems. She's
second.
No, she's the youngest. The second.
She's the youngest, but she's the second least hardest. That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Second.
There's one softer than her, but then winter comes around because she's a certain gem. She gets tougher.
Let's get this out of the way. The harder you are in this, the stronger you are to fight.
Which makes sense.
So,
won't break.
Let's get all the hard puns out of the way, because we're going to be using the word a little bit.
And soft.
Yeah. We're going to be using it a lot in this. So, there's the explanation for it. Some rocks are harder than other rocks, essentially.
Yeah.
So, Phospholite is the second weakest, I think.
Second weakest.
And she's the youngest.
She's definitely the youngest.
So, she's not a fighter. So, they entitle
her. She's fairly useless as a fighter. She breaks so easily.
Yeah. because she's brittle. And they entrust her to create an encyclopedia of everything, because apparently they don't know anything.
But they do, and you find that out later on, that Sensei's very knowledgeable and teaches them all very much about everything.
Right, but...
But apparently it's not written down in an encyclopedia.
Well, no, weird. I got it. I got the idea that he didn't have a job for her.
Yeah, just kind of messed it up.
It was like, all right, we need an encyclopedia, so here, make an encyclopedia.
It's definitely what it felt like.
Yeah, that lasted like 4 episodes.
Yeah, and even though she still had the job for a little bit after that, she wasn't doing it.
Right.
wasn't trying.
Because the Lunarians show up with this giant snail monster.
Yeah, yeah, a few episodes in.
And drop it on them, and they try fighting it, and the snail...
sort of sucks her in a bit.
Eats her, and then dissolves her in a horrifying fashion.
Yeah.
You see her eyeballs and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's, I didn't expect that.
No, that's when I was like, this show might kind of be more than what I thought it was.
And, you know, eventually from hijinks and everything, they end up getting her out and piecing her back together. The big snail turns into a tiny little jellyfish snail thing.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. But what we find out from the dissolving is that if you get lose pieces of their body, they lose parts of their memories.
Yes. Actually, I think we found that out a little bit earlier with Cinnabar.
That's possible.
I have a question about Cinnabar. What is her power that makes that shit happen? I never figured that out.
Oh, so Cinnabar...
She has this liquid stuff she can control, but if it touches a gem, obviously it hurts the gem.
Cinnabar is... There are two gems that are kind of outcast. One is Cinnabar, and she's on the outskirts of it. Of the beach, because her rock is actually poisonous.
Okay.
So the metal that she is essentially, I think it's called cinnabar. It's actually very poisonous and dissolves rocks and stuff like that. And that's...
Oh, by the way, before we go any farther, every single gem in this that is named, we're not going to name them all, we only know a couple off the top of our head.
Yeah.
They're all real.
Oh, yeah.
The only one that isn't real is the one they allude to Sensei being.
Right. Yeah, they're all real. Like, so you'll see diamonds and basic ones, but then you'll get, like, the ones that you have no idea what it is. They put a good amount of research into rocks.
Yeah.
Or the guy who made it is a rock enthusiast.
He's a geologist.
Geologist or something, yeah. Because they did. But yeah, so I forget what I was talking about. Oh, Cinnabar.
The poison.
Yeah, Cinnabar. So that poison that she uses to fight with is poison.
It's for metal, I guess.
Yes. So she can't get rid of it, and they can't put her anywhere because
she touches anything.
It dissolves.
Yeah.
So that's why she's an outcast there. And then, of course, there's Aunt Ark, who comes in later, and she can only form a whole... She's liquid most of the time, and only can form in cold weather.
Yeah, and she gets super dense and super hard.
Yes. But yeah, so Phospholphilite kind of falls in love with Cinnabar.
Yeah, a bit.
And says, I'm gonna... And that's the story, her trying to find her a different job so she can be part of...
Society
and stuff like that. And then she makes a snail friend. We learn that Phospholphilite can talk to, like... everything.
Well, because she was inside the jellyfish, or the snail, and then they pieced her together through hijinks and bullshit I'm not going to get into. She can now speak to these things, which is, I guess, just a byproduct inside it.
I don't think so. I think she's always had the ability, because she can talk to glaciers and stuff too later.
Yeah, I still think that was because of the snail. Because the glaciers are part water.
I'm pretty sure... That they said that she has an understanding of languages or something.
Yeah, I think that's because of the snail. No, well, I might be wrong. I think that was because of the snail.
I'm pretty sure when they showed that flashback of her being taught by the sensei, that's what he was
doing. Oh, maybe. Anyway, she can talk to frozen glaciers.
She's the plot point to explain everything now, because she can talk to things.
So the snail says, oh, I remember there's one of you out in the ocean with us.
Yep.
So she's like, oh, okay, well, let's go. And, you know, eventually they go out into the ocean to go looking for it.
Because the gems aren't supposed to go in the ocean, but they're not supposed to leave the island. I don't know why.
The salt, I think, breaks them down slowly.
Oh, that's possible.
So she has, like, this coating she puts on to protect her powdery skin, but I think to also protect the
I guess
gem.
We should explain that, too.
Oh, yeah. So they're gems. They're brightly colored, so they put makeup on to make them super pale and look like people.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
Yeah, a little bit. So then we go in the water, and the snail turns into this octopus girl.
Yeah. The girl with the big breasts we were talking about earlier. Which is just odd.
Yeah, it was strange.
And Phospholite's, what are those? And she's like, these are my most prized treasures. And she's holding them. It's so weird.
This is also where we get a lore dump about the humans and souls and stuff
like that.
That's
when you start to find out background information, history. And then you find out that the jellyfish girl is a trapper.
Yeah.
She wants to get her family back. The Lunarians took
it. Yeah. So apparently the jellyfish made a deal with the Lunarians. I didn't know they could talk, but...
Yeah, they communicate somehow.
But, so she got her to get her brother back. So they trap Phospholphilite, and they release her brother, and her brother is a girl.
Yeah, oddly enough.
I don't know how that works.
Or just a super feminine guy.
No, she was definitely a girl.
I don't misgender, okay?
No, she was definitely a girl.
Anyway, during all this, Phospholite loses her legs, and they're gone.
Well,
not coming back.
Because of the trap, she loses her legs to the Lunarians, essentially. Mm-hmm. But then the two Snail people kind of...
They chop off a piece of their shell, which is part gem.
Well, hold on, before we get to that, they kill, kind of betray the Lunarians.
Yeah, whatever, they kill
them. And they kill them. And then as they're falling in, they free them, they're essentially Snail people, I think. But then they lose their snails and turn into octopus people.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they cut off the shell.
Yeah. Spells, and they're malleable. They're just flesh.
Yeah. And this, and they give them, give phospholite washes up on the shore with these two things. Because everyone's...
They cut, like I said, they cut the pieces of their shell off, which for some reason is a gem.
Wow.
But it's not phospholite.
No.
It's a different kind of gem.
Yeah. Oh, and phospholite like disappears a lot, so all the other girls have to search for her a lot.
Well, the gem, so the gem's super dense that they bring back, and they do surgery to give her legs again, but she lost a bunch of memories, because that's a lot of gem that's missing.
So, she lost all the lore dump that, say, we got.
Yeah, she lost it all. She can only remember tiny, tiny pieces, she remember like the human. Word human,
yeah.
Which made Sensei stumble a bit.
Yeah.
He broke a desk. He was like, what? And then she's got these legs that are half her gem, half the new gem, and they make her super fast. She's not used to controlling it. We had a couple episodes of that.
Yeah, she's normally all green. So.
Yeah, she's a brightly green gem.
And the new things is like purple and white striped.
Yeah, then which they keep for a few episodes, and then they end up just like, oh, I don't want to animate that, so they just paint it with the powder.
Yeah. But she's the only one that's got different.
Yeah. But clearly they've done it in the past before because they know how to do it.
Yeah, but none of the other ones have it though, which is very strange. I mean, I guess.
Well, I mean, it must have happened in the past and then they got harvested somehow.
No, I guess you wouldn't want to lose your memories.
Yeah, it's not something you would want to do.
Yeah, so.
And then eventually they're fighting.
So yeah, winter
comes around and she's with the frozen girl.
But now Elsa's in a different. But she's so fast that she can't even stop.
Yeah, we get a couple episodes of that.
Yeah, she's trying to figure it out. And then she's like, so winter's coming, and the gems, since it's so little daylight.
Yeah, they run off daylight.
So they hibernate, essentially, and there's only like 3 days of winter that the Lunarians can show up, like sunny days, because apparently they can only show up on sunny days.
Yeah, which is odd.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's... Doesn't really make sense.
Maybe it's explained if there's ever a second season or in the rest of the manga.
I guess, but I mean, Lunarians really not sunlight.
Yeah, it's more of a.
Yeah. So the gems hibernate, but Phospholite decides she's not going to hibernate this year because she's not really tired, and she's going to try to stick it out with the winter. So it's just her.
She also was talking about trying to persevere and become stronger.
Right. So it's only her and the new girl that we are introduced to, the Antarctite.
Yeah, the liquid one that's softer than her, but in the winter is harder.
Right. And Antarctite's job during the winter is pretty much make sure to
protect everyone else because there will be a couple days of sun.
Right. And
other things like the glaciers. She has to break.
Yeah, she has to read the... Because the glaciers make such loud noise, they might wake up the other gems.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so they're doing this patrol, and it's her learning. And then, like, a few weeks into winter, Antarctica...
She's been training and everything.
Yeah, she's been training. And she loses her arms.
They do lose their arms, but it's when they go to the birthplace of them, where the gems form.
See, they're breaking up...
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry.
They're breaking up glaciers.
Yeah, she loses her arms.
And she hears the glaciers saying, I can take your arms away. You need better arms.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
that's sort of like her thing right now. She needs her arms to match her new legs.
Yeah, to be stronger. And she's like, and she's tempted at first. And then she's like, no, that's crazy. And then she falls in and loses her arms. And then they go to the birthplace of gems to find...
Try to find a replacement or the same type gem there.
And all they can find is gold and platinum.
Yeah.
Which is super, super heavy.
Well, of course, right?
So they attach her arms.
They put them on just to see if it'll work.
Yeah.
And the gold, like, takes over.
Yeah.
They call it platinum a lot, but it's clearly gold.
So.
They color it gold.
Right, right, right. It's because it's a mixture of both.
Yeah, but you should add some silver in there, though.
No, I got
you. They really didn't.
But, her powers, just for general, if anyone's ever seen Naruto and Garu.
Oh, the sand guy?
Yeah, that's what
it's sort of like that. She controls her liquid gold arms like that.
It's kind of just, it's almost instinctive.
Yeah.
It's like Dorne, when she first gets the arms, the gold starts surrounding her.
Yeah, it's pretty odd.
Yeah, and then the Lunarians show up and pretty much kill Antarctite.
Yeah, kill her and take her and they leave her hand or foot or something.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
And she sort of transforms and tries to fight him back, but she doesn't know how to use her new powers yet, so she's not good at it.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting seeing her try to fight with that heavy gold because she's like cracking, but then the gold's seeping into the cracks. And she creates heels with them to help, you know,
right.
stand. So that was pretty interesting.
So, and the Lunarians are getting away from her, and she's trying to keep, she can't run fast anymore because she's so heavy. So
now her strong legs are just supporting her weight.
Yeah, so she tries to throw something to stop them, and
it just doesn't make it.
It doesn't make it, and it comes back later. She was like, when her depression stage, like, I should have just stretched and got it. At the meantime, since the sensei's awake during this this time period, too.
He's fighting this ghost, steam type.
No, the Lunarian showed up at his fourth step, and he killed him, but it was a trap.
Yeah, it turns into a steam thing and, like, binds him
for a bit. So he can't even get there, which is like, oh, this is really happening.
And he's like, you think this will hold me?
Yeah.
And he, you know, some light comes out of his hand and he breaks it, but it took too long. And he didn't get there in time to save, what's-her-face.
Antarctite, yeah.
And then, so that's really when it also starts to build up questions about Sensei, because right after that, there's these weird dog things.
But even with the trap, all the Lunarians were, like, bowing down to him. So it was very strange. And so Phospholipite kind of has to take over Winter.
Yeah, for the rest of Winter.
Yes. And so, and she's completely changed now. Her whole attitude.
Well, you got to think she's lost her legs and her arms. That's a lot of memories gone.
Well, true. But her, you know, she goes from this
happy-go-lucky hippie type character.
Incompetent character to, like, one of the most powerful characters in it. And not in, like, the stupid shonen way either. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, I power it up, you know? Yeah, it's just
drastic personality change.
Drastic personality
change.
She's
way more serious. She's way more determined.
You know, damaged.
She's also more depressed.
Yeah. So it was very interesting how they ended up doing it. And then, so we get back to spring, I guess?
Yeah, spring, I guess. And she's questioning things, but not too loudly.
Right.
She figures out a couple things. And then towards the end, she finds Cinnabar asks for help.
Right, right. But towards the end, we also get a new enemy, this giant dog monster. Rips itself out of reality.
And it f***s them all up.
It does. It was one of my favorite scenes in there, is the dog, when it's chasing, because it's chasing Diamond, and then she's kind of hiding, and she crawls behind a sting, and she's looking over there, she sees it, I guess you call it the camera, but it's all drawn, so she's crawling over this way, and she's up against the thing, and the thing goes up, and just shows the size discrepancy of the giant thing looking down.
It was a really cool play on angles.
And I don't really notice angles or anything like that, but that was really interesting.
Yeah.
And stuff
something
like that.
I would say you typically see in a really good scary movie.
Yeah, it was really, really well done, and it stood out to me, so.
No, that was nice. It stood out to me, too. I like that.
Yeah.
And then, like, the dog breaks apart and turns into these fluffy little things.
Well, every time you destroy it, it multiplies.
And then Sensei wakes up from his nap, and he puts them together or whatever, and he can talk to him, and he's like a puppy, and he controls them.
So, essentially, this giant monster dog is a giant threat for, like, up until it gets down to, you cut it down to, like, hundreds, and then they become, like, little tiny puppy dogs.
Cut it enough times, it just turns into little puppies.
Yeah. So they all, at some point, they're all collecting these little puppy dogs that are a thing.
They're and put playful,
them,
they're fun.
Yeah, they put them in a pen, and it reforms.
And they're like, oh, shit.
And then the sensei comes in and starts petting it, like, oh, you're here.
But it's clearly a Lunarian.
Right.
So that begs the question.
Right, but the weird thing is...
How is he able to talk to it? How's he able to control it?
Right. But then he calms down, and then all the other gems are like,
oh, okay.
Okay. They're sleeping with it at one point.
They trust
and
Sensei.
Phospholipite's like, what the fuck is going on?
It's almost like a cult. They trust completely.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell is going on with this?
And probably the only reason why she's questioning anything is because she lost her memories.
Right.
She's got new gems.
That's true. Oh, and she was like, so the dog apparently was at peace and disappears at one point. It's really strange.
But then she starts getting pretty serious in the questioning things.
Right. And then it ends.
It gets to episode 12 really fast, which is the last episode.
They keep introducing plot points up to the end, and it's like starting new stories, and it's like, there's like 20 minutes
it's
left.
It's also pretty interesting that at the very end, she goes to Cinnabar and asks for help to figure out what's going on with Sensei, and Cinnabar brings up the fact that,
You promised me
a better job.
Right.
And then Phospholipite's like, you can see her expression that she forgot that.
Yeah.
Because she lost all her gems. So that was really good to see that. They kept that going.
Right. Yeah, this was really good.
I highly recommend it. I hope to God there's another season
point. Because that's what brings it down for me a little bit. The ending was just, there's too many mysteries.
It's not an ending.
Yeah, no.
It 100% is not. That was not an ending in any way, shape, or form.
Right. I mean, with the rocky start and then the mystery ending, it kind of, I I go with a 7.
I think I could go with around a 7, too. Now, if they come out with a second season and it's just as good as the first one, but you give me closure, you give me...
It could be an 8.
It could be an 8 or 9, I think.
Yeah, very much so, but as is...
Yeah, as is. Definitely. It's a solid 7.
7.
Yeah. It's very watchable. You should watch it.
Yeah, I agree. You should watch it. So,
yeah. That's surprising.
Yeah, considering...
Considering when we watched the first episode together after we...
Don't do this yet.
Okay. We both didn't like it, though. We were like, oh.
Yeah, the first...
We got another one of these.
Yeah. So, this or Masamune's Revenge?
Yes.
That's easy.
And I didn't mind Masamune's Revenge that much.
No.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
No, but this was only...
But, you know, funny thing is, the problem with both of these is they didn't have an ending.
That's true. I mean, we had to go to the manga.
We could do that with this one.
Yeah.
The manga is finished, but I'm hoping for another season. I'll look into that later.
Yeah, I think I would rather have an actual...
Because the anime is just so good.
The anime was good, and it was beautiful, so...
Yeah, it was very well... So, I wouldn't say drawn, but it's CG.
So going to black and white manga would be like, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, let's spin...
Category M.
For M, yay. Category M.
Long category M. Give me Mobile Suit Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans. No. Majestic Prince. Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
That sounds terrible. Okay.
All right, guys.
We're not going to go click on it like we've been doing.
No, I just wiped my mouth after that. All
right.
Majestic Prince, guys. Next episode.
All right. Bye.